This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
4 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. K-State basketball against Illinois comes your direction. Pre-game starting at 5 o'clock. By the way, if you missed the news, the Chiefs-Broncos game, not this weekend because it's a bye, but the following weekend's been flexed. It's Sunday Night Football now. So instead of the Broncos-Chiefs at noon, it's in the evenings at 7:20. Joining us now, Chiefs sideline reporter and, of course, co-host Fesco in the morning, Josh Klingler. Meaning Josh gets a little bit extra time before he roams the sidelines. Josh, do you like that Sunday night flex?
But less time after roaming the sidelines.
This is true.
That's always the issue of that one. But that's a personal issue. No, it's cool. Getting more primetime games is pretty awesome. I find the only difficult part is the anxiety of waiting all day long. I think it is. You do wait all day for Sunday night. And it's so long when you're not playing and everybody else is, so I get a little antsy if it kicks off, you know, that late in the day when everybody else has played. But good to get another primetime game. You get a little bit of extra, I guess, rest after the bye week, and then we'll see what the Broncos are by then, because you know, they could maybe not really factor in to be in a, you know, we'll see how they do against the Chargers this week, and if it's got a lot of juice from the Bronco end by the time this game hits.
Is there more juice, do you think, out of Chiefs fans in night games than day games, Josh?
I think it's still, I mean, it's still great all the time, but I think it's probably matchup related as much as anything. I mean, the Sunday night presentation's always got a little more to it. Obviously, they played a couple of these on the road. Those types of games always seem to have a little more zip. But I think the Chiefs fans, it's probably based on the opponent and the crowd. I like this past weekend, I mean, that place was rocking on Sunday, and a good portion of it was obviously the Chiefs were beating a good team, but they were trying to quell all the Cowboy fans that were in attendance. And so I don't know if it gets any more amped. It's, you know, usually pretty amped, but the Sunday night presentation always gives it a bigger feel.
The Chiefs, we've been talking about this a little bit, Josh, looking at these teams, because everybody's got their deficiencies. I mean, the Titans are hanging on to the one seed, but they don't have Derrick Henry. That's just a different football team. I mean, waiting for some of these teams to fall. The Patriots, I think, will have a say-so. They have a better conference record than the Chiefs at this point. I think they're the number two team in the AFC, to be honest with you. I don't know where you think about them, but can the Chiefs actually get back to that one seed? Something that seemed all but long shot earlier this season.
Well, I mean, I think everybody has to remember there's a difference between power rankings and seeding, right? The Chiefs may be headlining some of the power rankings, right, this week. They've impressed everybody, and everybody's kind of jumping over themselves to say that they're back as the best team. That doesn't guarantee they're going to be the number one seed. I still just have a feeling that even though you're seeing some teams slip, that if they run into a tiebreaker scenario, they're going to lose the tiebreaker. And I still think that they're behind in terms of being able to get that one seed. I mean, those losses to the specific teams they lost to could be tiebreakers at the end. So Buffalo, Baltimore, maybe Tennessee. I mean, I think Tennessee's a different team, but I don't know. I just feel like I can't rule them out, because you kind of watch them and you're kind of baffled as to how they're keeping it together offensively. So you can't rule them out. They're still ahead of you in the standings as well. If it comes down to those tiebreakers, we know those teams have the tiebreakers. So they've still got some work to do when it comes to getting the one seed, but just having the conversation about being back in the realm of getting the one seed is pretty amazing, considering 3-4 weeks ago, everybody's lamenting whether or not they can actually make the playoffs.
Here's one common theme I've heard from opposing teams the week before they played the Chiefs. This is even when the Chiefs were, you know, sitting there at 3-3 or 3-4. Like, these coaches know what the Chiefs are capable of doing. They know Andy Reid. They know Patrick Mahomes. The record did not concern them, but the Chiefs still had that fear factor. And I was kind of wondering, did the Chiefs still carry the same fear factor as they had before? Because we know how important it was to beating the Chiefs. I mean, the Bills loved it. Hell, Baltimore almost threw a parade by beating the Chiefs. I mean, it was a major accomplishment just beating the Chiefs. And that somewhat lost its luster a little bit. But I think these defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators going against the Chiefs, maybe more so the offense than the defensive coordinators, because you still have to deal with Mahomes. But now they have to deal with the defense of the Chiefs as well. Do you feel like that fear is back with the Chiefs?
You know, the Chiefs have looked closer to being that big bad bully the last 2 weeks, and that's got to strike a little bit of fear. I think, you know, maybe early in the season you had probably more teams thinking, oh, this is what we can do, this is what we can do. Maybe the luster's off a little bit. Let's forget the aura, forget about what they did. Let's look at the individual. Here's what we're dealing with in an in-game scenario. And so I think that probably factors into preparation. But, you know, they have the last specifically 2 weeks really kind of muscled up and looked more assertive on both sides of the football. I think that's what should give you some scare if you're another team. Now, do the Chiefs need to continue to do that offensively? I think absolutely. We saw another, you know, good drive at the beginning of the game, and then not a ton of offense that you'd kind of expect. They need to figure out a way to be a little more consistent in that regard. But and defensively, yeah, contending with this defense right now. I mean, this was a wounded animal that has now come back to life, and they're mad, they're angry, and they're playing from every position. I think that's what's been the most fun thing about this defense, specifically this past week, was that so many different guys got involved. Obviously, Chris Jones was the headliner, but Andy Reid darn near named everybody on that defense, and he wasn't wrong that everybody made a play at some point in the game or stood out for playing well the entire game. So, yeah, that defense is suddenly one you're going to have to contend with a little bit differently that looked like at the beginning of the season had a ton of flaws, and you could just go after them, and now are obviously have turned it up and are feeling comfortable, you know, playing off one another as well and in concert with one another, and better communication and confidence and the whole thing. And so, yeah, you got to prepare, I would think, a little bit differently for the way this Chiefs defense is playing now versus what you might have seen on tape early in the season.
I know we're in the second half of the season at this point. I know the bye week's coming up. It's actually the perfect bye week for the Chiefs, to be honest with you. Having this week's like a gift. You're off for Thanksgiving and you get the Broncos on Sunday Night Football. But as we sit right now, what's been your biggest surprise so far? The offense in the way they played, or the defense turning around and playing the way they played?
I guess it'd be the turnaround, but I'd go further back and say my biggest surprise was that the defense didn't get out of the gates a little bit faster. I know that they have mentioned the younger players, but really that's only affected Nick Bolton. Maybe you'd consider Willie Gay and L'Jarius Sneed, although I think they had enough experience not to be young players. You did add a Jaron Reed. I think it was kind of how they got out of the gates was the biggest surprise, I think, defensively. You know, did I expect them to play this well for an entire season? No, but give me somewhere in between and a little closer to what we're seeing the last few weeks, and that should have been the expectation level for this defense all along. So that, to me, was probably more the surprise, the start. And then, yeah, I'll give them credit for pulling themselves out of it, and whether it was health and you know, getting a few guys in a few different positions and maybe buying in a little bit more, whatever they had to do to pull themselves out of it, you know, kudos for that, because if they were playing like the 32nd ranked defense while the offense was going through their few week issues, this team, we'd not be talking about a number one seed, and we'd be ready to, you know, march down the streets with flame, right? I mean, this would have looked really, really bad had the defense not pulled itself out of whatever it was going through, and this team was having problems offensively. They'd be what, 4-7 rather than 7-4, and we'd be forgetting, you know, any thoughts of a postseason.
Because I always had this fear with the Chiefs. I said, you know, if this offense still rolls, they're always going to be in games or win games, and it doesn't really matter what the defense does. But for the first time in a long time, Josh, and I didn't really feel this way in 2019 either, I've just got this feeling like if the offense, you know, goes out and stumbles again, you know, stumbles on its feet, turns the ball over, but because the Chiefs were giving the ball to the Cowboys in great field position, but like the first time in a long time, I actually think, okay, the Chiefs might win a game with their defense alone.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, one. And two, we're just not used to it, right? And two, there's nothing wrong with giving the defense that confidence that they can go do that either. You can't quantify confidence, but this defense looks like they're playing with a bunch of it, and it looks like that has snowballed over the last, you know, four-game win streak. And so you can't discount the value of that. You can't put a number on the value on what that is, but you can't discount it either. And so they have the confidence that they can go out and win you games. And this is more probably like the offseason talk, Bink. Remember, I mean, they talked about being – you know, they knew that they were the lesser brother to the offense, and always wanted to get out of the shadow a little bit. And we kind of all went, oh, that's cute, that's nice. But now they might believe it that they are an equal footing of the offense, and there's nothing wrong with having that belief. And then if you're the Chiefs offense, well, continue to do your job, but no, also be playing with the confidence that defense can pick you up if you are running into some scenarios where you're not having as much success.
Well, the Chiefs did have some news today, some bye week news. Obviously, they got flexed to Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos, but also cling a huge contract extension. The most at his position in the NFL, James Winchester, baby, contract extension for a guy that's forced fumbles, the guy's done everything else, and a guy that you always know that snap's going right back to the punter or right back for field goal placement with laces out, always.
There is a very much a confidence in that is an overlooked spot, right?
Yes.
If you don't have it, it totally stinks. If you have it, you probably take it for granted, and you know, it doesn't. It's also not like hugely overpriced or anything, right? Yep. I mean, it's a very affordable contract. It's a long snapper, so you get a very affordable contract, but you get a guy that you can rely on in that spot, which is cool. Although, you know, hey, I thought you couldn't do contracts during a season. I thought you always had to wait till after the season. I mean, I guess they weren't going to wait till after the season to get James Winchester.
Yeah, the Broncos been doing that with wide receivers. Chiefs do with their long snapper because you got to have them. We don't want to talk about special teams, but you got to have it. What was a huge play in the Raiders game? It was Tommy Townsend throwing the football. You know, special teams matters. They're people too, Kling. You know what I'm saying?
From my perch on the sidelines, I will say I am often in their way because they're the only ones that really practice during a game. So there's always Harrison Butker's always kicking in that net. James Winchester and Tommy Townsend are always working either on the punt snaps or the field goal holds, and I am constantly in their way. So I see those three more than any other Chiefs. And I'll tell you what, they're hard working during the game. At any and all times. So if you go to a game, watch the special teams guys. They're always at work. And then if you go to the Chiefs game, watch for me and make sure I don't get hit with a James Winchester snap.
Have you ever been kicked by a football by accident, Kling?
I have walked by that kicking net a few times where I thought, whoa, I got a little close to that thing. So, yeah, I'm always head on a swivel a little bit to not get hit by Butker or Townsend.
Well, we're far enough along. You've been doing this job now for 2 years. Have you had your moment yet where you got ran over or trucked on the sideline? Your golden moment?
No, but this most recent game, Fox was doing the game on Sunday, and I don't know how many camera crews they had there on the sidelines, but they had camera crews with cords going all over the place, and I nearly got hogtied like two or three times. So you always got to pay attention. There's always something going on there that sometimes doesn't even involve the players, but I guess I'll credit myself for being a little bit nimble at times, but no, if something's coming towards the sidelines, I'm bailing out of the way. I got a trick knee that doesn't need to get hit. So, you know,
well, we did see on Sunday Night Football, hopefully we see a repeat of Josh Kling on the sideline too. A great cameo. I'm sure your kids, you had to record it for him. You had to show him like, look what dad is. Like,
oh, they showed me. Okay. Yeah. Everybody, I got so many pictures of that. Like, thanks for everybody paying attention. There was also proof that I work from everybody. I don't quite understand. I'm like, yeah, I am on the sidelines every game. I guess I needed proof that I made television, and so that verified that I actually have a gig.
I'll be damned if you don't get a ring, Kling. I know you're going to get one at some point. I think this is maybe a year. I mean, you got to look forward to it, but I want Josh Klinglinger to have a ring. And Kling, I know I'll see you tomorrow, but we had some little fun with Cody Tapp earlier on Thanksgiving foods and whatnot. Do you have any go-tos on Thanksgiving, or are you guys kind of non-traditional and just have like a taco bar or barbecue or something?
Well, we probably have done turkey until last year, and we just did like a mixed barbecue plate.
Nice.
And it had some turkey, but it was like everything else, right? And it was a big hit, and everybody kind of looked in the same thing. I said, look, I'm not the biggest overall turkey fan. Does anybody care if we don't do this anymore? And everybody's like, yeah, I'm glad you said something. And so as a family, we've all agreed that, yeah, we don't need the turkey. So it's usually kind of a mixed plate. So I think that's what we're going with again, although maybe more ham for Thursday and then
there
barbecue
we go.
On
there
through
we go,
the weekend.
Rob. He's going ham, too. Seems to be a popular choice. It's the direction I went to. But, Kling, let's be honest. Would you rather have a bye week any other week than this one? I mean, Andy Reid was talking about cooking the turkey plus eating it as well, having fun with it. The Chiefs hit the jackpot with the bye week being this week.
I guess. Although they're playing so well on defense right now, I would just – and they're pretty healthy for the most part. Oh, yeah. I would just as soon play another game. So, I mean, I don't have to play, so I don't have to heal up. So, you know, it's a little bit different. But the way they're going, I'd just like to keep the momentum going right now. I'd take on the Broncos, you know, now.
I'm curious what they're going to say at the end of the season about the 17th game. Like, I'm curious how much the players are really going to like that. They did have the preseason shortened, but I am curious going to be the thoughts on people's because, you know, you go to the Super Bowl, it's tough to repeat because you played more football than anybody else. But I'm curious how much more difficult it is to repeat by playing that extra game.
Well, and I think when they added the game, we all thought, well, you know, you're going to have stuff wrapped up. It's not going to matter. You're going to maybe play one or two games where you're playing your backup guys. I think we've seen how this one is shaken out. Probably everybody's going to have to be in a spot to play all 17 games this year. And so maybe it's just a fluky year in that regard. Maybe that won't always be the case, but I think that final week of the season is going to matter this year. And so I think that 17th game is probably not going to be a throwaway for quite a number of teams, and it could very well not be a throwaway game for the Chiefs either.
Final question for you, Kling, and then we'll get you out of here. If you had to take one rookie off this team, Bolton, Creed Humphrey, or Trey Smith, who would it be?
Ooh.
And they said they couldn't play all year.
Them?
Yeah, you couldn't have them.
Oh, geez.
You take one of those rookies away and say they're not yours.
Yeah. I guess based on usage at the moment, I would have to say Bolton. Because I don't know, last couple
yeah,
weeks he's got kind of less PT. The other two are starting and playing every play, so I guess I'd have to go Bolton.
All right, one more for you. I said it was the last one. What's the lineman that you wouldn't invite over for Thanksgiving, the lineman, because he'd eat the most?
Ooh.
Trey, Orlando, Tooney, Creed, who are you not inviting?
Oh, boy. So who would I be most fearful of?
Yeah.
I mean, Trey would probably be the scary one. He's got a mean streak to him. He probably throws elbows around the mashed potatoes.
Good stuff, Kling. Josh Klingler, sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs here on 106.5 The Wolf with Mitch Holtis and his fellow Hawkeye, Dana Hughes, and, of course, hear him at 5:58 in the morning on Fesco in the morning. I've disappeared. I've been supposed to be with him the last couple of days, and, well, I'm not. But I'm here to apologize. Sorry, Kling.
Your body clock is all screwed up.
I know. All right, Kling, have a good night, man.
All right, later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.